I would encourage that person to live out their identity. There is so much going on in the world. There's so much that's part of our history where people have always told us who we have to be, where we have to be, how we have to do it. And there's always been something inside of us that wanted to get out because we're so much more. I would say find it. If you've got a piece of it that's in you, let it out, live it out, because it's going to feed you in a way that you couldn't even imagine.
Welcome to the No More Reasonable Doubt podcast. In season two of this podcast, it's made to help Black professionals start passion projects so they can expand their impact in the world and at work. In each episode, you can expect an interview with a Black professional who has a 9-to-5 just like you. And they've also launched a passion project into this world. You'll also get episodes with specific topics and lessons to help you move that passion project forward. I'm your host and fellow passion project starter, Mike Ambassador Bruni. Let's start the show.
Okay, welcome everyone. Welcome to another episode of No More Reasonable Doubt. Today, our special guest is Odie Miller. Welcome, Odie.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
My and our utmost pleasure. So one of the first questions we like to ask the people, because, you know, they get to know you as we ask the questions. The first one is, what do you do for full-time work?
Okay, for full-time work, I'm a construction safety manager for a large infrastructure company, a national company. We build roadways, bridges, dams, you name it. If it's infrastructure, we've got our hands in it. So it's a large company. My job primarily is educating and motivating people to take a look at risk as far as construction, minimize hazards, and make sure that everybody gets home safe at the end of the day. At my level of work, I'm not out there actually in the field. I am sometimes with construction workers. I started off in construction. I've been doing it for almost 30 years with my belt on before I got into safety. So I pull from that to try and reach people. I get buy-in and try to kind of get into the psychology that we have out there around identifying hazards that are out there and getting people to find a personal reason to champion that and then teach other people to do the same.
The next question, kind of the meat of why we're here, is what is your passion project and how long has it been in existence?
Oh my gosh. So that's a question that's got a lot of different parts, because I think that I'm a passionate person. So whatever I do, I'm all in. With this thing with safety that I got into, I was passionate about that. I had reasons. I came from a trade that the chances of going all the way through the trade and not getting injured or have some sort of repetitive motion injury or getting killed is only 4%. Throughout your entire career, you stood a better chance of getting struck by lightning twice than making it out of the career without an injury. So I was passionate about getting into safety. So doing that, you know, I've always been a side hustle guy too. For a long time, my passion project was working as an instructor at different apprenticeships and things like that. And it just kind of got me into the business thing. But my passion project that I'm currently in stems from my love of music. I grew up playing several instruments when I was a kid. Music was always my thing. I got into construction because it still allowed me to do shows and you know, still be able to have money coming in while I'm going there and I'm pursuing a career as an artist. Well, that didn't work out. And at some point I had to grow up and leave that alone. And, you know, I started having children and got married and not necessarily in that order, but I had to provide. So music was always something. It's a creative. It isn't something that you can put to bed. It's part of your wiring. For me, it's waking up in the wee hours of the morning and hearing a song in my head and having to hum it into my phone so I can remember what it sounds like in the morning. And whether I do something or not, that was the only way that I could get it out of my head so I can get back to sleep. So a lot of musicians be able to identify with the idea of having to get something out of your head and out in front of your ears so that you can let it go. Otherwise, it takes hold. And even though I was working in construction, even though I was providing for my family, and even starting a side hustle with safety training and the safety training business, always been drawn to music, always kept musicians around me, always had different songs and different projects that I was involved in. And then I got to a point here with, well, COVID-19. So let me backtrack. About 5 years ago, a little bit over 5 years ago, we bought this property out here in California with a little acreage. And I had this great idea of buying a 40-foot shipping container and then turning it into a music studio. I don't know if you've been on my Instagram or not, but those pictures of me in the studio with all lights and my gear, that's actually in the shipping container. From the inside, you can't tell.
Oh, wow.
I call it the Ark. Over the last 5 years or so, my neighbors have been watching me hauling materials up and down the hill on my back and out here, you know, having all kinds of machinery and equipment and grinding and welding to late hours of the night, building this place basically by myself. So just like the story of Noah, right? Noah, what are you doing? Right? You're
right.
Crazy. You know, nobody's there and you're just building this thing. And that's what I've been doing for 5 years. And finally, it's really starting to get finished. It's never really finished, like all good projects. And but I started bringing people in and started recording music here in my studio. And at that point, I was like, you know, I'm going to get in here. I'm going to start doing some branding and start to reach back out and get back in touch with the local community and making music. And my whole idea was to be able to be the sort of person that I needed when I was a younger artist that I didn't have access to. So that was...
Say more.
So that was kind of the inception of the idea that when I was in music back younger down here in San Diego, there really wasn't a network for me to get involved with music. We had a few people that we knew that were kind of up and coming, and they had outside sponsors that were buying them gear. And we would congregate in these different places. And but that's all we had. You know, if you take a look at San Diego and the music industry that's down here, you'll hear a few names come out of here. Nick Cannon's from out of here. But most people in San Diego were treated like a bedroom community of Los Angeles and Hollywood and everything shiny up there. So when people want to make it from San Diego, we generally go up to LA to make it happen. So fast forward now, you know, we've all got these computers and we've got bedroom producers and there's a larger network down here in San Diego where people, they want to get in, they want to make music. But being an artist and getting started off sometimes means that you don't have the means to get access to good equipment, to videography, to, you know, somebody maybe, you know, sponsoring you and vouching for you when you want to get into a location. And now certainly because, you know, I've had a professional career because of what I do, you know, I'm a little bit better off. I won't say that I'm rich, but, you know, I've got enough to be able to take care of the things that I like to do. And be able to share that with other people. I mean, that's pretty much it in a nutshell, right? So I produce music. I'm tied in with a lot of different people. The creation of music itself isn't necessarily a tangible thing, right? So when you're dealing with the arts and you're dealing with artistic, left brain type people, a lot of times, like the conversations that we're having right now, weird enough as it is actually making music in my head. It helps things make sense, and there's a groove. And staying in touch with that, staying in touch with you, staying in touch with what makes you you, helps you to thrive in other areas of your life. It makes me feel complete. When you meet with other musicians, there's always that connection. And it isn't something where, like, you're like, okay, yeah, you're a musician, me, you're going to get along. But it's more along the lines of, hey, I'm having, you know, this conversation with this guy, and we're clicking with each other. And then come to find out later on, this guy is also a musician. By our makeup, by the way that we're designed, we're always looking for harmony. You know, we're always looking to work with each other. We're always working to play off of each other. And that's what musicians do. Naturally. And so when it comes to conversation, it comes to the way that we get along with each other, there's just this fantastic energy that's in there. And what I like doing is getting out there and getting involved with other musicians and building up on that energy and that excitement and the collaboration process and creating something that wasn't there before we started having a conversation.
That's beautiful. Is what you have going on with your production, is it something that is monetized? Talk to me about, I'll stop with that question. Is it something
okay, that's monetized? So that's an embarrassing question. Because, you know, there are a lot of people out there that are making a lot of money doing this. And in my case, because it's a passion project, you know, I love seeing people get off the ground. I don't charge as much as I should. I do a lot more favors than I'm probably lowering the bar for a lot of people. But it's where I thrive, you know, and I have to create, and I'm part of the creative process. So, it is currently monetized. My rates are embarrassingly low, you know, and I'm hoping to change that at some point, but because I am a professional, I don't necessarily need to live and die off of this stuff. A lot of times I'll do enough work to be able to purchase my next piece of gear or my software or, you know, a new camera. So that's kind of what it does. So I actually, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, playing off of you now that we got music going. You know, the kind of what I'm hearing around the why you're doing it, though, like there's no, definitely I didn't ask the question from a judgment perspective, you know, hey, it's a question I asked just to see so other people can know, hey, there's different way things are working. And then when I listen to your kind of, at least what I'm labeling as part of your why, it wasn't about that. Like that wasn't the motive. One thing that gave me goosebumps was really when you're talking about what I wish I had when I was coming up as a musician, because that changes, that can totally change the structure of how you do it. If you even charge at all, right? Because it is this thing about, it sounds like there's a lot of joy in seeing someone else being able to have an opportunity, and it isn't money that's the barrier to their opportunity. It isn't the lack of resource, right? It's like, no, I'm here. So you can eliminate that part from the equation. We need you to go make your music. We got a space for you to go make your music. That's your job, is to make music. So I'm speaking as if this is what you're saying to the people, at least in theory. That's kind of what I'm
You know, and I hate to be all weird and, you know, just kind of ethereal but there's a certain amount of magic that happens when everybody's in what musicians call in the pocket, right? There's a lot of energy that's there. And basically I just want to be there when the music happens, when the magic happens. I want a front row seat. I was privy to this not too long ago. I met somebody off of Instagram. I sent her a text and said, hey, look, I really like the song that you just put out. I would love to do a video for it. So I've been talking about music so far, but really I branched into video production.
Tell us about that. Tell us about this branching and why. And like, why? Like,
yeah. Okay, so this is where the passion takes off, right? This it hit like level 10, right? I'm doing music. I've been doing music ever since I was a child, right? Maybe almost 40 years been around music. But the whole time that I'm around music or I'm listening to music or creating, I've always had a visual in my head of how this thing would play out if it were a music video. And just this past year, you know, I'd been talking about, you know, getting a camera and shooting some videos. And I started practicing last year with my cell phone and getting lenses and attaching lenses to it and getting lights. And the whole idea was just to kind of get video for Instagram for what I do here in the studio, just, you know, just visuals. And my wife buys me a camera. The family buys me a camera for Father's Day. And then all of a sudden I had this fantastic tool in my hand, and it dawns on me that all of these images and these ideas that I have in my head, I can now make happen. And I started shooting music videos. I shot my first music video like 2 weeks after I got this camera, was out there playing around, taking pictures of the dog and all of that. And I shot this music video. And funny enough, I was working with a reggaeton group, and we paid somebody some money to make a video, and the video was good, but the response that I got, and I'm thankful for that video. So the response that I got from the group after I shot my first video with them was like, man, that video you shot was better than the one that I paid for, that we paid for. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? It made sense to me. I went out, I shot a whole bunch of footage. I sat back in front of my computer. I took a look at the videos. I listened to the music. And I found an order for it. And I got some great shots, some great visual shots. And then and it just made it happen. And then next thing you know, I'm shooting another video the next week. And then, you know, I sat down with somebody. I'm like, hey, look, I want to do this video thing. I need a guinea pig. And this guy was great in front of a camera. So we locked ourselves into his tattoo studio for about 10 hours. And he just let me move lights around and point a camera at him. And I ended up with enough material to make 3 videos. And then kind of strung those together. I was really finding my groove. And funny enough, as much time as I spent in music, the video aspect and putting music together and music videos together and visuals and things like that, the visual aspect of it really in a short amount of time made more sense to me than music production. And that just blew my mind. I've been making music videos here. I've probably got a dozen of them. I've got maybe 20 videos on my YouTube. I've got several videos that I shot that I haven't released yet because that's something that I'm finding out is that when you do music videos for musicians, a lot of times they'll just hold on to those videos until they're ready to release them. So I can't release them and they're not releasing them, so they're just sitting. But I would probably say I've made upwards of maybe 15, 20 videos. And that's just since Father's Day this year. I love it. I've got an embarrassing amount of equipment, everything that I think that I need. I've got a friend who's got another black owned business, owns a photography studio, and we just went out last week, and he's shooting a documentary. He's a professional cameraman for a TV station, and also has his passion project, which is this photo studio. We went out and he let me work with a professional camera as he was shooting a documentary on homeless people here in San Diego. So that was a great gift, and working with him, and I have a short film that I'm shooting here in the spring, where he's going to be my AD or my artistic director. So or DP, my director of production. So that's really exciting, and that's really taking off. So I'm spending more time here, even though I have a music studio, and even though I've got the equipment to do that, I've kind of revamped it into more of a video production studio. So I do both.
Talk to me about that. I don't know. Is it the learning of that, right? Like, how do you go from that?
Well, it's a steep learning curve. But wherever you've got passion, you've got energy. So working with software and to produce music and understanding, you know, just kind of the structure of music and the phrasing makes it a little bit easier to find places where if you change your visuals, like say on a beat or beginning of a bar, or when the music pulls out, how you'll have impact on the music. That in essence is the motor behind video production, but the technical aspect, that's the nuts and bolts, is just sitting down with it and spending time with it and massaging it and finding shortcuts in your head and creating relationships with the software and the way that you envision things. And that's where I guess the passion comes in, because it's time in. And if somebody were forcing me to do this, I wouldn't want to do a tenth of what I put into it so far. It's, you know, waking up in the morning saying, hey, you know what? I learned this thing about making this transition, but I wonder if I can get this transition to do something else. And then so I'll get up and I'll start YouTubing it. Maybe, you know, I'll let the YouTube video play and I'll listen to it on the way to work or when I've got some spare time or something like that, and try to figure out how I can make it work for me. Or is there software out there that already does what my idea is doing? And so I'm actually in the process of doing something like that today, where I just bought some more software because I had an idea. And I was like, you know what? I know there's software's out there, and I'm going to pull the trigger on it. And so there's that.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, you...
I guess I would have to go why I built the studio in the first place. It's because I was doing this in the house. My transition into safety from working out in construction came at the cost of an injury. So being an iron worker, those guys you see walking the steel in the high rises and all of that, that was me. I started to fall off of the iron. We call it falling in the hole. I reached up, I grabbed the iron, I shredded everything in my left shoulder. All the way up until that point in my life, I'd more or less been a builder. When it comes time for my income, I'd been a builder. And I was at this crossroads where I was asking, what am I going to do with my life? And this was a major injury. Prior to that, I had had a more minor injury where I had to have my ankle worked on. And I decided I was going to pick up a guitar and learn how to play the guitar again. I had taken music lessons when I was younger. And I've always been around music. I got into rap and things like that. But as far as playing an instrument, it didn't happen until 2009, where I picked up a guitar and it all came back to me overnight. It was amazing. Like, it was like for 30 years, I'm thinking I don't play an instrument. And then all of a sudden I pick up a guitar, and then, you know, I'm with my wife and now we're leading worship in the house. And like, this is overnight. So that kind of sat, and I started picking up different instruments and things like that. And at one point we moved into this condo, and we had a little extra room, and I had a desk in our bedroom, and I bought a keyboard. And then all of a sudden I've got this music station, this workstation starting to grow in our bedroom. And then the thing about music, right, when you're creating music, there's a vibe, you know, you got to have it up loud. We're in a small apartment, and I'm in the house, and nobody can really do anything while I'm doing my thing. And I can't do my thing while everybody else is doing their thing. And we ended up buying this house, and I started building a music studio in the living room. So from there, that really didn't work out either, right? Because I've got a daughter, she's in theater, and she's singing. When she's singing, I can't create, because next thing you know, the music that I'm creating is whatever she's singing. And I needed my own space. So I started building this music studio down the hills, a couple hundred feet from the house, so that I would have my own space. Short answer long, during the process of building this thing, it's 5 years, right, that it took for me to get in here and finally be able to move my stuff in and actually start making music in here. It was a monumental task. Like, why would I even do this, right? Like, what am I, you know, there's windows, there's doors, there's skylights cut in here. It's like 70% reclaimed materials. Everything that's in here, I built to code. I've got slate floors in the bathroom. I built my own furniture in here, stone on the walls, shower. It's totally plumbed. I've got air conditioning in here. I've got outlets everywhere that I wanted outlets. I've got separate rooms, another room just for recording in. I built all my furniture in here, my desks, my studio desk, TVs on the walls. And so it took a long time because I did all of this in my spare time, going to work and then picking up materials and then staging them and staining them and making a door. Sometimes I would look at this thing and I'm like, I'm never going to finish this. Like, I started this thing and halfway through this, I'm going to sell it to somebody else who's going to finish it, but I couldn't let it go. So there was a lot of times that I thought about just kind of quitting this. And then as far as being a musician, like, I ended up building this place beyond my skill level because it was on the precept that if I built it, they would come, right? I built a good enough place with everything that I needed in it and everything that I thought that I might need and all the spaces. And the idea came from seeing a shipping container studio that wasn't as lush that somebody was renting out to musicians. And I thought, okay, well, we're out in the country and maybe if I make this place nice enough, maybe I can make it like a retreat where somebody would come and maybe rent the studio space and camp out here until they got their creative ideas out and there would be all the equipment that they needed. When it comes to being a musician, I'm a hack. I take however much time it takes to get the music to work, and then I fix all the rest of it post in my DAW, my digital audio workstation. So there's a lot of times where I was thinking, you know what, I'm building this super fantastic studio, but I'm not even that good a musician. I've never really made any music that was a hit, and why would I do this? So, yes. So long answer to a short question. Yeah, there were a lot of different times I thought that I was going to quit.
What got you over the hump?
What kept you moving? Okay, so let's go back to this idea of where there's passion, there's energy. There was something fulfilling about building this place with my own hands that gave me the energy to go to work every day and keep doing what I'm doing, because one of these days I'm going to finish the studio and it's going to be everything I hoped for and more. Maybe it's not all of that, but in my head, that's what kind of kept me going. It was having this place and creating it and the act of working with my hands and building something from me that made going to work every day worth it. I mean, of course, you know, we want to take care of our families and, you know, we want to keep a roof over our head. But those are basic. Those are the right Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? We're going to do those things for ourselves anyways. But doing something for myself gave me a sense of fulfillment. And I've always been one of those people where I felt like if all I did was go to an 8-hour day job or a 10-hour day job and I gave it all to the job and I came home tired and I went to sleep and I got up and I did it all again, I'd be robbing myself. I would come after work and I would just kind of tinker, and there'd be seasons where I'd have to leave this thing alone and then I'd come back to it, or, you know, maybe I needed to save up some money for a piece of equipment like a welder or something like that, or I'd have to go. And my side hustle that I had with my safety business actually paid for a lot of the tools that I needed and materials that I needed to build this studio. So when COVID-19 struck a year ago, was really my launch into ODM Productions and getting this thing up and running because schools closed. I couldn't go and I couldn't teach, and a lot of places didn't want you to have around, and we couldn't have large groups anymore. So I had the opportunity to say, okay, well, I've got this place built and now I've got time to be in it. So let me do something with it. So that definitely got me over the hump.
You kind of you may have already answered my next two questions, but we're gonna go for it anyway, and let's see if there are different things that come out. There are certain challenges as I'm doing my research. I talk to different people who are thinking about starting a passion project. One of those things is, hey, where do I find the time? Where do I find the time? I have work. I have family. They may have other volunteer things that they do. Where do I find the time, or how do I make the time? Listening to your story, it sounds like, hey, I would squeeze it in as I can. But I'm going to ask you anyway, how did
You
you
know
make the
what?
time?
I would have to say, looking back, I don't know, because I'm a father of five. There's seven in our family. You know, we were when I started off and getting back into music and stuff like that, there were five kids still in the house at that time. One of them an infant. And you know, the older kids are gone now. I have a 23-year-old that's working on her nursing degree and towards also working getting a certification so that she can become a physical trainer, personal trainer. And I have a 13-year-old in the house, and I have to be dad all the way through this, and I have to work, but I found time. You know, there's a process called thin slicing that somebody spent some time with me on. And it was a book that was written. I didn't actually read the book. The guy paraphrased it for me. We spent time, and I would watch this guy do a lot of different things. And basically, the idea of thin slicing isn't trying to get everything done at one time, but being able to interlace little pieces of what you need to do throughout all your different activities. If I wanted to be a better musician, you know, it's just like this thing of picking up YouTube and watching a video here or reading a book there or spending a few minutes with my guitar so I could learn a couple chords. And then just kind of keeping this process going on over time. And so doing that at kind of a fundamental level let me know that I could do more things. And you know, to work all day long and then come back and show somebody and say, hey, look at this music video I shot over the weekend. And then for to say, where do you get the time to do this? Sometimes I question that myself. But I know I rob myself short of sleep sometimes. You know, I find time to get in there. I shot a music video last week after I got off work. The more that I do it, the quicker it gets done. I go into something, I'll create a shot list. So if I know that I'm going to shoot a music video, I've listened to the song in my spare time, maybe a couple times. I got a concept of what I want to do. I pick up the phone, you know, when I have a minute, or maybe during lunch, I'll talk it over with whoever I'm working with. I'll create a shot list. Maybe while I'm, you know, going getting ready for bed, I'll write a list. If I've got ideas in my head, or if I wake up in the middle of the night and I've got it running through my head, I'll jot it down before I go back to sleep. So there's a lot of different opportunities for me to just kind of touch it. And then I'll come back to it, and then once I get to the point where I'm ready to shoot this music video, I'm getting off at 3, I'm meeting up with somebody at 3, the sun's going down at 4:30, and we want to catch the sunset. I'm on a strict schedule to get that done. And then after that, now that I've got all this great footage, I'm not going to sleep on it, right? So now I'm motivated to creating something. So normally I'll push that out for a time where I've got space and my head is right. And like times like now, like we're on here, we're doing this interview. This is normally a time where I've set it aside. It's a couple hours after I've got done working on Friday. I've taken a shower, I've cleaned up, and now I'm ready to sit down and change hats and be a creative. And that's what I do. I find time, I schedule time with myself, for myself, because that's important.
The second question I was going to ask here, and I think some of it has already come out, is around, actually, I have to rephrase the question. What do you do? What do you do to gain extra energy when you're tired?
I get started because it is a passion project. Mm. It doesn't take too much to get this thing going. I'll come down to my studio and I'll turn all the lights on. You know, when I get my music equipment going and I've got a whole bunch of blinking lights on here and I've got an arsenal of different instruments, or I keep my guitar plugged in, my electric guitar plugged in, and I'll sit down and I'll put the guitar on my lap and I'll strum a couple chords, or I'll have a video up, a documentary about somebody making music or something like that on Netflix. Because I know if I watch this for a few minutes, I'll be like, forget that. I'm going to get mine. I'm not going to sit here and watch you where I'm sitting around all this gear and I know that I can do it myself. Or, you know, because I've got so many different interests, I just switch gears. So if I'm not feeling that, then I know that I need to do something for myself. Mm-hmm. I'll take a look at some of my footage. Sometimes my wife gets on me. She's like, somebody paid you money to do that. Why are you going back over it again? I'm like, well, so that I can do it better. If I take a look at a piece of video that I've done, I'm like, you know what? I put that together the best that I could at that time, but now I've got some new skills. Let me see if I can go back to this old video footage. Instead of having to go out and shoot some new material, let me go back to this old footage and let me see if I can do it better with what I know now. So I'm constantly trying to improve on what I'm doing, and I get a sense of fulfillment out of it. And much more so than if I'd come home and taken a nap. It's like, you know, for people that you know, that work out, right? And so, yeah, you know, you don't always feel like working out when you come home. But, you know, if you stand in front of those weights, you touch them, or you start walking on the treadmill or whatever it is, that you're going to start feeling better. I try to get that process started. So
thank you for that. So now some people, and this was the case for me, and I'm curious if it's the same for you, with the passion project that you're working on, do you see it having any impact on the way you show up at work? Or should I say a
positive? Okay, so let me take a deep breath here and phrase this correctly, because this is one of those areas where you can get me talking. What I do is uniquely me, and it is absolutely juxtaposed to the position that I hold at work. When I'm at work, I'm about safety. I'm talking to people about what needs to be done. And people have a certain perception of me as being a safety cop, but really that's not what I do. But at the same time, there's a certain seriousness that I have to have when I'm at work. And being creative and letting that all hang out and being totally different is something that I keep in the back of my head. Like, I'm a creator, and I do stuff that I'm sure somebody else at work is doing it, but in my head, I'm the best at what I'm doing right now with me. I'm not saying that I'm better than other people. I'm saying for me, this place that I'm at with my life, somebody can't challenge that. And so when I get to work and, you know, there's pressure on and there's a lot of different things that are going on, I have to remind myself that, okay, I'm good at something. I'm good at something that's just me. And you can't take that away from me. And it gives me a certain amount of confidence. It gives me a certain amount of energy it gives me a certain amount of strength to be able to recognize that I'm me, and regardless of whatever is going on in the world, that I have something. So I don't know if that answers the question, but you know, it does. It puts a little more pep in my step. When I was younger, I can express this in a way that when I was younger, yeah. When I used to go out and I used to rap and stuff like that, and I was doing shows and things like that, and then coming back and then still having to work during the day in construction, people would get after you and people always hollering at you, and you have to get this done and you're never doing it good enough. And that's just part of the culture sometimes. I would never really let them back me into a corner because I'm saying to myself, well, oh, that's cool. You know how to do this, but I bet you can't do what I do.
There's someone who's listening to this recording right now. And, you know, they've had kind of this idea of something that they want to do. They may not know where to start. They're kind of on the fence. What would you say to them based on your journey? Right? Like something, and actually this is a fresh question that's coming to my mind now, based on your journey, right? Like something that you have learned that the only way you would have known that is because you have gone through, you know, what you've gone through with what you've built. You couldn't have answered this question the same at the beginning, you know, like 5 years ago when you started building, but there's something that you've experienced that you're like, man, listen, let me tell you a little something about what was on the other side.
I would say to somebody that might be on the fence, that is thinking, you know what, if there's got to be more than this, I would encourage that person to live out their identity. There is so much going on in the world. There's so much that's part of our history where people have always told us who we have to be, where we have to be, how we have to do it. And there's always been something inside of us that wanted to get out because we're so much more. I would say find it. If you've got a piece of it that's in you, let it out, live it out, because it's going to feed you in a way that you couldn't even imagine. That's why at the end of the day, for me, it's not about money. And yeah, it'd be great to make more money doing it. But right now, it's born out of passion. This is just something that completes me. And I would encourage somebody to find something like that in their life so that when things are getting heavy, when things are, you know, the whole world is working against you and say ends aren't meeting, you have something that's in you that's been given to you that can fulfill you. And it takes a little bit of energy to get started, but the ends justifies the means. Go out there and spend that energy, find out who you are, what really makes you thrive, and to the best of your ability, feed it, even if it's just a little, because once it gets a life of its own, you're up and running, and there's no limit, and there's no stopping point. There's no limit to where it is that you can take this, and you'll never have any idea of how far it'll go if you don't get started. That's what I would say.
Thank you for that. It's a great place for us to end, man, on that beautiful note. Where can the people find you in the work that you're doing?
Okay, so I just went through this whole branding thing, and I'm still working on it. But I've got everything synchronized to ODM underscore production. So whether it's my Facebook or whether it's my Instagram, whether it's my Twitter or my YouTube, you can find me under ODM underscore productions. I'm down here in San Diego. I'm always looking for people to collaborate with. I've got a lot of different things that are going on that are in the works. Basically I want to create, I want to be there when the magic happens. I wouldn't market myself as somebody that's inexpensive. So hit me up. But if you got something that I can sink my teeth into, something that moves me, that I'm in alignment with, then then let's do that.
Odie, I appreciate you taking the time, and I really mean that, because I know what else you would have been doing.
I hope you enjoyed that episode and found tremendous value in it. If so, don't keep it a secret. Tell a friend to tell a friend, and don't forget to follow us on Instagram, our handle, No More Reasonable Doubt. Every so often, I create a free resource to help you take your purpose or passion from a dream to an actual project. You can always find that resource at nomorereasonabledoubt.com/free-gift. This is Mike Ambassador Bruni for No More Reasonable Doubt. Remember, some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. It's on you.